This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
My name is Rupert Noy. I was born in February 1923. When the war started, I was 16. And in 1940, when Churchill formed the LDV, I volunteered for that. We were renamed later Home Guard. And it came in useful when I eventually went into the Air Force because we had learnt a lot of rifle drill and marching, things like that. And just a few days after my 18th birthday, I volunteered for the Air Force and as a wireless operator air gunner. I was accepted in April 41. And then put on deferred service and eventually called up in September 41 and went to Blackpool on a radio course, failed it miserably, and remustered to air gunner. We were posted to Hendon then, and at Hendon for about 6 months, and then I was posted on to Scotland to take the gunnery course. After the gunnery course we did OTU on Whitley's at Abingdon. When that course was finished, we were posted to St. Errol, attached to Coastal Command, where we were doing sweeps over the Atlantic and the Bay of Biscay. And one day we did actually see a submarine and attacked it, but we never knew of any definite result. After that, we were posted on to Wellington's, went to Harwell to convert from Whitley's, and we were then posted to 166 Squadron at Kirmington. And our pilot disappeared one day, and we had another pilot, an Australian, starting his second tour. He was very, very good. And we finished our first tour at Kirmington when they converted to Lancasters in September 43. And I was posted to Operational Training Unit as an instructor. I was recalled in April 44 to 12 Squadron at Wickenby to replace a rear gunner who had been injured. And the crew had already volunteered to join the Pathfinder Force, so I went along with them. And we went to Upwood and started operating with Pathfinder Force. You had to do so many marker trips before you got your Pathfinder badge. But due to an incident of the crew was broken up. I stayed at Upwood as a spare gunner, and during that time I flew with quite a few different pilots and eventually finished up in about September 44 with Tony Hiscock. He was what they called a blind marker. He bombed on radar or dropped the flares on radar. And we did quite a few, we did about 19 trips together. And the last one was over Hamburg, a big daylight raid, just before the end of the 31st of March, actually, 1945. After that, we were all made redundant, went to various stations and different jobs. And I volunteered to stay in the Air Force for another 3 years. And eventually was posted back to Upwood on 148 Squadron. Again, on Lancasters. And I stayed there until I was demobbed at the end of 1949. That's about it. I was very lucky during my time in Bomber Command. I did 3 tours of ops and only once was attacked by a fighter. That was on the 5th of January 1945. We were coming back from Hanover and I saw a fighter, a single engine fighter, approaching from the starboard side. I told the skipper and he started a corkscrew, but the aircraft did fire at us and we were damaged in the tailplane and the wing. The damage to the wing disabled my turret completely because of the hydraulics were damaged. And The But there was no real serious damage. We got back to base quite happily. But we did lose about 300 odd gallons of petrol. Then in March 45, I was again rather lucky and was awarded the DFC. And Tony Hiscock, the pilot I flew with, he was awarded a barter his. And he was a very good pilot, and we got on very well together as a crew, which was one of the biggest things you needed to be a happy crew. I think that's about enough. When you flew with Bomber Command, you were in a crew, and the crew, you were trained as a crew, and you got, generally speaking, got on very well together. And at times, when me as a rear gunner would have given instructions to the pilot, having seen possibly an enemy aircraft, instruct the pilot to dive or corkscrew, and he would do that without any hesitation. Although I must say, I was very lucky in my time that we didn't have many times when that was necessary. But the crewing up system was a bit haphazard. When you reported to OTU, you were all at one time, various number of pilots, wireless operators, navigators, bomb aimers and gunners, were put into a big hangar or a big room and told to crew up, which seemed very haphazard. But the system worked. Later on, if you went on heavies as a crew, you went to a heavy conversion unit and got a mid-upper gunner and a flight engineer. And I never had that because I just joined straight from rest to replace an injured rear gunner. I think that's about it. We got up to about, on our training, and we went into these defiants, and the first thing, you're not allowed to operate the turret until the pilot says so. And so he said okay, so I turned the turret round, and you have to raise the guns first, turn round, and looked at the tailplane, and there's this little tiny tailplane behind you, and you think, that's all that's holding us up. But it wasn't. You had wings built the right way round, and a good engine. But it was funny, really, because that was the first time the vast majority of us had ever flown when we were on training. Because, you didn't fly much in those days, unless you had a five-bob ride with Jack with Cobham when he came round to a local airfield, and you could go and have a short trip for five bob or 7 and 6 or something. Alan Cobham, that was. You know, he started off doing the refuelling in mid-air, didn't he? Down in Dorset. But it's funny, because when we were at Blackpool, we went down to the pleasure gardens there, and they had what they used to call in those days the scenic railway. And you got on this thing, and you went up quite high, and then down almost vertical swoops and up the other side. And that was, I think that was designed to put you off flying.
Did it?
It didn't, no, not really. Not when you got a bit further on and got onto bigger aircraft with the rest of the crew, you were all right. You're quite happy because you couldn't do much with a Whitley. It was quite good fun.
People don't realise it was good fun.
Well, it was after you'd crewed up and you steadily got to know a bit more about the rest of the crew, because that pilot we lost when we got on the squadron, because I think he went LMF, but he was married and had a young daughter. He was Welshman. And then later on, the wireless operator went LMF. What's something wrong with this? Because the navigator and the bomb aimer and myself, we finished the tour eventually on Wellingtons. But we had a nice picture of the Queen, didn't we, for our 60th wedding anniversary. And let's get a frame for that. Put it up, because it's a nice picture.
That's the point, is that's how it works. That's how you remember things.
On Pathfinders, they were all volunteers from various squadrons, but they used to have talks on the squadrons from Hamish Mahaddy, who was one of Don Bennett's leading men, and he used to come round trying to talk people into joining PFF, and he must have been very successful because they were never short of volunteers.
What sort of training did you have to do for that?
Well, we had, when we went to PFF, you went to War Boys, because War Boys was the navigation training unit for Pathfinders. And you went there and you did so much, about a week or 10 days course there, training, mainly training for navigators. And then you were sent to the squadron and did the ops and marking as the time came. You didn't mark straight away because you weren't considered experienced enough or trained up to the standard that they wanted.
Did you have to go with another crew then?
No, you had instructor pilots that went with you mainly. But of course all the navigators' logs were sort of checked by the navigation officers after they'd come back from every trip, whether it was training or the actual operation.
On behalf of the International Bomber Command, I'd like to thank Rupert Noy, DFC, for his recording on the date of, I forgot what it is now, 27th.
31st
Saturday. See, this is on here and stays on. 27th of October 2015. Once again, I thank you again, and even though I got the date wrong. Thank you.